All right, everybody, here we are again, episode 5. This time we're covering television shows. And a quick recap, our last trivia question was, Tom Hanks searches for Howard Stern. And of course, the answer to that one is Saving Private Ryan and Private Parts. Saving Private Parts. Tonight, again, we have Adam and Charles, who's coming back as another guest star appearance because he just had to hop in on the TV shows. Also, it's going to help out because Adam is not really strongly suited for TV shows, which is fine, but he does have a lot of great opinions on what's coming up. And tonight's trivia question is, coming to you straight with a mix-up, a fledgling baseball star struggles with normal life in his small hometown while he is pitted against other high-class individuals in rigid class warfare. A fledgling baseball star struggles with normal life in his small hometown while he is pitted against high-class individuals in rigorous class warfare. We'll give you the answer to that at the end of the episode and give you another one later. And without further ado, here we go. Episode 5, the television series review.
Or what are we doing here?
Yeah, I was just like, where's our list? I'm like, why are we starting now? Shouldn't we have made a list?
No. No, we're going to wing it. We're going to wing it.
Is it being winged right now?
It's being wung presently.
Being wung.
I don't know if it's a pass. I can't conjugate that
okay.
one.
All right. Well, I guess that's okay. Right.
But so here we are again. We are talking about television shows. Adam doesn't know much, as we said. Charles thinks he knows everything.
Well, that's not true that I don't know much. I just don't watch much television. I don't keep up to date with shows. I refuse to. Mainly because my schedule is erratic. Not to say that I'm busy, because I'm not. But
he's too good for Hulu Plus.
But it's just I don't like doing it, and I like watching things on my own time. When I watched Lost back in the day, the greatest TV show of all time, I had to watch. Yeah, you know, I had to wait week for week and in between seasons, which did add a different element to it. But at the same time, I can't anymore. I tried to keep up with Justified, which is actually a really good show, but I can't keep up.
On Blu-ray.
I do. I've seen season 1 and 2, and I think it's good. I don't think it's the greatest show ever.
I've got season 3 on the DVR.
Well, I mean, if Timothy Oliphant just sat in front of a screen, I'd probably watch it because for some reason I've got a big man crush on the guy. So, but yes, okay, fine. I don't know that much about it. You two are the masters of
I would say more of a quasi aficionado on my part.
Well, okay. First, I just wanted to say movies are the ultimate form of media.
They're
the
best medium. I think they're the best medium.
They absolutely are,
because they can become timeless. Where TV shows can't. Some TV shows can.
Some TV shows are timeless.
All right, so in the 1950s, on Tuesday, America shut down at 5 p.m. Businesses would not open. They would send all their people home, and you couldn't get anything accomplished. You couldn't even order a hamburger because everyone would go home to watch I Love Lucy.
Well, that's
every
that's
single
that's
American really watched that's I Love Lucy in the 50s.
Which is kind of cool. I like that. But I feel like there is better writing, for the most part, in movies. It's kind of changing with this whole new remake thing that they're doing. But, please go ahead.
Well, both things are tainted. You got Hollywood and movies regurgitating all these ideas, which has all these remakes. And now you're diluting television with all these reality shows, which are
fake. That's so true.
So both streams are diluted. There's no original thought unless there was an original thought reality show, which doesn't exist.
It does. Well, I mean, and well, sometimes some of these shows are kind of innovative. I mean, Survivor, the first season was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I did watch several of the seasons. My dad's a big fan of the show. But over time, it becomes the same old crap over and over, and they're force-feeding you. And then they're force-feeding you these really obnoxious storylines, and because we all know America
CSI
loves
Las
a
Vegas
fucking song. Okay,
CSI
well, if you want to talk
Miami
about, if you want to talk
CSI
about some,
New York,
well, see, this is what the thing is.
CSI Special Monkey Unit.
I hate all those type shows. Let's face most cop dramas, unless it's on HBO and it's The Wire.
Yes.
Any series on HBO is going to have its own class because it's so much better.
They can do so much more on
HBO.
They have a budget, like.
Not even a budget. The FCC doesn't control them as much.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I feel like that's why we have to separate them. So when Breaking Bad comes out and it's on AMC, I think if someone were to compare Breaking Bad with The Sopranos, you can't do that. The Sopranos can go as far as it wants. Right. Breaking Bad has a limit, you know what I mean? And the fact that they can keep themselves in that limit and keep themselves relevant.
Still be such
but
a great
however,
show.
Yeah. However, but now, you talk about Breaking Bad and AMC, they're able, award-wise, I mean, if it were, there were movies, I guess AMC would be the indie.
Well, it is circuit. Now. It is now.
But now that they've got three great shows, well, two good shows and one overrated show, Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Biting my tongue.
And the overrated, what's the other one about the zombies? Anyway.
Oh, you mean you think it's about zombies? Well, that's perfect because you might be an idiot. Yeah. You're kind of
okay, well, okay.
But basically, AMC has the notoriety of an HBO because their shows.
Well, and they're also they're on cable. They're not the networks.
Right.
For decades, like you know, when I Lucy was popular, and all the way up to the 90s, the networks dominated television with their shows, with uh-huh. sitcoms sure. and whatnot, because that's what you only watch network shows. You
well, that's
watch,
what the thing was back
Spike
then. Sitcoms
yeah.
were the thing, and now yeah. we're getting into these things where actually shows like The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and HBO, they're not only set in these pieces that are set up with audiences. Now we're getting these huge scopes, and we're getting basically they're almost like it's movies.
No,
they're just long movies.
AMC films. A movie every episode,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Basically.
So does like HBO, like for instance, Boardwalk Empire. Is
a Boardwalk
show.
Empire is probably my favorite crime drama.
I love it.
Favorite
Monkey
crime
Thompson,
drama.
You got Al Capone in it. I mean, it's a fantastic
and it's,
show.
It's, you know, it's my
done.
First Steve Buscemi movie where I wasn't completely
show.
Creeped out by him.
Steve Buscemi is creepy in anything.
Steve Buscemi is one of the greatest actors.
I love
ever.
Him.
Yes.
I love him.
Yes.
But like, I remember my first movie remembering him was in Con Air. When he was a child rapist.
Oh, okay.
And,
he's got the
I've always
the
been,
whole
I've always been creeped out by that guy.
Is.
But, you know, I actually like the character Nucky Thompson. I feel
he
for him.
I haven't seen the show, so I don't know much about it.
Well, while we're talking about shows, we're talking about HBO, it has to be brought up. Perhaps the most anticipated show of the season.
Yes.
Possibly of all time. And that's a little thing I like to call season 3 of Game of Thrones.
I don't know much. I know of the storyline, so if you guys just talk about
Adam,
it.
Adam has read the books.
I have watched
Charles and I have. I've read the first two.
I watched
and Charles
the first,
has watched,
I watched
this whole
I watched,
show.
I watched the first four episodes, and I wasn't floored by it, mainly because I've built up these characters in my head. To
Adam also
I
doesn't
love,
like, Adam doesn't like looking at boobies either.
I love.
Oh, come on. It's...
Look, I'm
it's not even nearly
there.
As sexual as the books are. So
no.
I'm gonna put out there: King Joffrey is my favorite television character of all time. He is just, he is fair, he is brave. King Joffrey. Basically, you mess with him, off comes your head. I love King Joffrey. He is the greatest character.
Well,
of any
was, what's kind of
show.
Interesting? I don't know a lot about the show, but I do know that they actually are abusing King Joffrey and that they put him out there a lot more
yeah.
in the books. He's a, like, they talk about him. You don't see Joffrey at all. He has very few lines.
Joffrey's
all
a center
is
figure
it's
right
him
now.
Throwing
but,
bitch fits and then getting
yeah.
slapped by
well,
Tyrion.
By the way,
Tyrion. Sorry.
Tyrion.
Spoiler alert. If you thought season 2 was confusing with characters, season 3 is going to have a ton of new characters.
You need to draw yourself a map
yeah, you
right now.
You need to download
down.
The app. There's an app or get the wiki on how the Game of Thrones because you're going to see some characters that you've never heard of. It's going to be impossible to
well,
keep
that's,
up.
Well, that's what the books
but,
do.
Yeah. I mean, I believe season 3 and 4 are just going to cover
book
number 3.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
So,
so there's still some time left for some of the characters that you love.
For Game of Thrones, it is going to be awesome.
Well, I already know. See, the thing is, it's weird because I don't know where the show is
right.
necessarily. And I do know what happens to characters.
Right.
So it's kind of weird because I don't know exactly where it is. And from what I understand, the first season goes basically the entirety of book one.
Yes, yes.
The but season two doesn't go exactly with
yeah, season two.
No,
you're like,
season two
what,
makes
you're
minor
in a tailspin
departures.
In season
yeah.
two. But
that makes minor departures.
However, the last two episodes of season two are perhaps
so
the
sad.
Most epic things I've ever seen.
Well,
so they're pretty awesome.
In season two, they kill Daenerys. Spoiler alert. They kill one of Daenerys' handmaidens, and I was really looking forward to a scene in season 3 that would have been there if they didn't offer her. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
You're talking about the lesbian scene.
Oh,
yes.
it's
oh, well, okay, I got to say something right now.
Yes.
Daenerys, that's how it's
Daenerys.
Pronounced. I always thought it was Daenerys because obviously I've figured out what they sound like in my head because I've
right.
read
well,
it.
Yeah. It's a weird word.
She is not attractive, and she's my least favorite character in the entire series, not only the books.
You would rather sleep with Khal Drogo than her?
I would rather sleep with Khal Drogo.
All right. What's another show?
Well, Adam loves this show. Let's get into it. Lost.
All right, let's talk about Lost because,
Polar Bears in the Tropics.
Okay, Lost is the greatest show ever written, and I'm sticking with that. There are moments where it goes a little bit crazy. I believe it's season 3, season 4. There is some that's kind of the
writer's
parts.
The writer's strike ruined season three, and that's where 90% of the people that jumped the jump boat jumped because of season three.
And you know what? If you jumped, it's your loss.
Get back on.
And I'm now, as I've mentioned before, I've just started Lost over again. Okay. My third time.
Anyone in the sound of my voice right now? The only thing more that made people more angry than the Sopranos ending was the Lost ending. I believe if you saw the last season of Lost, the first episode where the plane actually landed.
Spoiler alert.
The first episode of the last season, the plane actually landed and they got off of the plane. I believe that should have been the end of the series, where somehow they were able to land the plane, everybody got
because
off the plane
of, and went on their own. That would have been a perfect...
They could have rolled credits right there, and I would have been
I
happy.
Completely disagree.
I completely disagree. Really? They're all...
Okay, whoa, quick,
you know why, Charles? Because Adam would make a great number one.
No, okay. First of all, season six isn't great. There are parts where it's great. It's got great...
It was rushed.
It was a very rushed story. It is rushed, but there are some great... There's... I don't want to spoil everything, but there's some scene with
the one thing Adam doesn't want to spoil.
There's another great episode with a guy named Richard. That's really great. It's not a great season in general, but I thought the ending was perfect. I love any show. I like the show because it has a certain thing with spirituality, which I think is kind of interesting. I thought it was like early on, especially because a much younger Adam watched the beginning of Lost, and I think it came out in 2002 or 2003. Yes. And I was a freshman in high school when that came out. And I was very angry with how Christian-themed it seemed. But then it seemed to open up and was for all religions, quote-unquote.
It wasn't about religion. It became a philosophy of life.
And that's what I think is what is so great about it. And I think the ending, okay, I'm just going to say something. They're not all dead. That's not the ending.
No,
they didn't die
all.
In the plane crash.
No.
Anybody that thinks that's what happened.
No, not at all.
That's wrong.
Thank you.
Everything that happened on the island happened. And I think that the ending is so perfect... just because it brings all the characters back together and...
Oh, except Mr. Echo and the polar bear.
Well, Mr. Echo...
And Bunny Number 7. The best character of the whole show is Bunny Number 7.
But they say in this last episode of Lost, when they're all meeting up, that it was the most important times in these people's lives were the people that were meeting. Mr. Echo's clearly wasn't.
The most important part of his time, was when he was with his family.
Yeah.
His brother and his mother.
So, and I thought of this whole idea, almost, you think about it, kind of like a purgatory, but I don't think of it as a purgatory, because I think of it in a different spiritual level than it comes to
their energy came, their consciousness came to coalesce
and
with the universe.
I think that if it had ended where it is, that would have been a kind of cool ending. I completely agree with you in that regard. But I was furious with the ending at first. I remember when I was watching it with two other friends, and afterwards I said, I just wasted 6 years of my fucking life for this show.
Yeah.
And then I went home and I didn't watch the ending again, but I sat there and I thought I was up until about 3 a.m. laying on my floor thinking about Lost, and all of a sudden it started coming to me like, this was actually how it had to end. And the first shot and the last shot, how close they were, was so great. And I feel like this whole idea of kind of moving on was so awesome. And also, if it had ended where you thought it had ended or wanted it to end in season 5, we wouldn't have known about... John Locke is one of my favorite characters in the show and in all of shows. And what I think is so great is he finds the island so special and Lost. These are
some spoilers for
now. And then what ends up happening is he is completely manipulated the entire time in order to get Jack to believe, which is what I find. So he has to sacrifice himself for the greater good of the island. And I love any story that's about...
D4.
Exactly, like R5-D4. Yes, yes. And so I feel like Lost, and there are so many moments in Lost, I mean, we're spoiling things here, but
no,
like, not Penny's boat, and moments like
God.
This.
Oh, God.
Lost.
I'm going to cry.
Lost, there's never been a more appropriately titled show than Lost, because by season 3, that's exactly where you find yourself. Like, what the hell am I watching?
I feel like they answered most of their questions... And of all those questions, most of them were satisfying. Some of they don't completely answer.
Right.
Some of them they don't
need to completely answer.
Well,
these are up to interpretation, so I guess that's a good
show. And that's what J.J. Abrams was talking about after the show. He was like, you know, I didn't want to answer everything because I don't want the story to be over for the viewers.
Yeah.
The story is always going to be open to interpretation.
And, well, you know how we've all discussed emotional moments in movies, and you say Up, and we talk about Toy Story.
Oh, God.
There are 5 to 10 moments in Lost where I nearly break down.
Yeah, and it's in the last season where everybody starts dying.
That scene, that's a beautiful moment.
There are some beautiful moments. The relationship between one of my favorite characters, who seems to be nobody talks about, is Desmond and Penny. And there's an episode where they
My favorite character was Lapidus.
They speak after 3 years. Fuck Lapidus.
And Lapidus!
They speak after like 3 years, and it was so beautiful. The issue is that some of the seasons 4 through 6, there's not as many great episodes. You admit that. The first couple seasons are great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and they continue with the mystery, and it keeps building, and they're fucking awesome.
The mystery begins to be revealed more and more, and that's why it's less cinematic, I think.
Uh-huh.
Like another J.J. Abrams show that just ended this past season, which is Fringe.
Fringe.
Okay. Is it over now?
Yeah, it's over now.
I've only seen it. I never started it.
Well, Fringe, in my opinion, which I'm the only one that's seen, is closest thing to the X-Files, if that's fair. There'll never be another X-Files. X-Files was one of the greatest sci-fi shows ever,
and I love Twilight Zone, and I love Star Trek.
Yes. I mean, X-Files, but Fringe was basically, it was pretty good. It was kind of... I can describe it. There's overall story and there's individual stories.
Well, that's
like the X-Files.
That's how a lot of these shows kind of work.
Yeah.
Justified works the same way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
any long-term epic tale is going to have 1,000 side stories in it.
That's good. Yeah, because you shouldn't go to the main story. You should have the side story.
The side story should build the main story. It should make the main
story.
Well,
this is why TV should be so much better than it is. I think it's finally becoming what it should be.
I think that
it's
going to be there in 5 years.
I think we're just talking about this because. Because like there's shows like Walking Dead and there's like Breaking Bad and there's and you say like Fringe, but there's only pockets. It seems like.
Right.
You know
I mean, civilization started off next to river ports and the ocean, and now it's everywhere.
But I still feel like there was some great stuff back. There is not a great sitcom on TV right now that I've watched. I fucking can't stand How I Met Your Mother. I cannot stand the Big Bang Theory. But I love
Theory is just everybody watching the hot blonde chick.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
why everybody watches the Big Bang Theory without her and Sheldon.
That's it.
The Big Bang Theory is for nerds like me.
When Sheldon
like
and the blonde,
and like
when Sheldon and Penny, the blonde, leave the screen, it's not worth watching.
Guess what? I'm just as a nerd as you are when it comes to I love all the Star Trek. I love space. I love science. Yet this show just ain't fucking funny. So I don't care about any of it because it's just not funny. And that's what sucks with a lot of sitcoms. Seinfeld is a funny show, and that's gone. So I feel like
Seinfeld era is like I think that there have been great TV shows for each generation. In the 50s it was I Love Lucy. In the 60s it was probably
in the 90s
was
Seinfeld. Yeah.
Seinfeld was the 90s. Yeah. In the 60s had Brady Bunch. Nobody watched TV in the 70s.
But
there's been good shows like the 80s had the Cosby Show.
There's no show that everyone watched in 2000.
But you're saying that maybe writing is getting better. I'm saying, no, it's just getting different. We're getting better in different places, and it seems like we're losing something in comedy.
Well, we're losing a lot because of all these reality shows.
No, that's what I was just saying.
Reality TV has destroyed the
market for television.
Well, look at MTV. I mean, first of all,
MTV. As a precursor, Charles actually remembers music on MTV.
Yeah, no, I do. But
also watch the Moon Landing.
There's one network that's ruining everything, and that is the E Network. Because I believe
E has the suit.
I know, that's the only good show. The E Network should be called the W Network. W for whore. Because every show on the E Network centers around a talentless whore.
Except for Soup.
The Kardashians.
Yeah, but the Soup is about
Kendrick.
all those shows.
Yeah, that's why it makes fun of itself.
Yeah, the Soup makes fun of all those shows. But you got no one has talent on the E Network. You got all the Kardashians. You got Ice Loves Coco. You got Kendra. Mm. You had the Girls Next Door.
And like you said, these are all.
The funny thing is, Adam and I are looking at each other blankly, and Charles actually knows their programming. So thank you for giving
the
ratings.
The E Network should be the W Network.
Well, what's sad is it sells though. People are watching
it. Does. More people watch Honey Boo Boo than
Honey Boo Boo, y'all. I actually saw my girlfriend and I went to Epcot. Sorry, ladies, taken. My girlfriend and I went to Epcot, and one of her friends texted her as soon as she found out that we were there and goes, Honey Boo Boo is at Epcot. Get a photo.
And you did. And
immediately, I was drunk at the time, and I was like, okay.
And you found it. It became
my mission to find Honey Boo Boo.
As silly as reality shows are, I will watch me some Duck Dynasty and some Swamp People.
Well, no, the Duck Dynasty is different in every aspect. Well, it's different because they aren't trying to be like, oh, we're fucking redneck, disgusting people like Honey Boo Boo does. And they just want the ratings. The Duck Dynasty are actually really normal people,
and they're
not good
reality shows.
But I feel like for every one good one, there's 10 bad ones.
Yeah, there's 15 bad ones.
And I feel like it's kind of a disturbing trend because what it is, it's like we're not watching shows to be entertained. It's now we're watching shows to be assured that our lives are better than these pieces of crap.
Yeah, there's niche shows. There's Storage Wars. Everybody sees Storage Wars.
If you don't love Storage Wars,
American
you can go fuck yourself.
I like American Pickers.
Yep.
Yep. I hate that guy.
Yep.
I hate that guy.
Well, it feels like it's the dumbing down now, and it's like this is what people are focused on. Luckily, every now and then we do get a pocket of good writing, and it's all
on AMC right now.
And don't hate on it. HBO too. HBO still.
Well, I'm talking about cable.
Yeah, AMC, it's pretty much AMC.
And what's so weird is AMC is American Movie Classic. And they went under
a huge paradigm shift. Yes. They didn't change. E4 is changing to the Esquire network.
Yeah,
right.
But they had the exact same thing where they've been bought out and they've completely changed who they are. But they kept the title.
I know, and because it used to be just showing movies and it'd be the channel everybody fucking skipped.
But everyone had TMC, so why watch AMC?
Yeah, and so now they're coming up with these good shows and shows that are winning awards or are getting billions of viewers.
Yeah, it is pretty much AMC and HBO.
And that's what really kind of sucks though is that we've just listed off three shows that. I haven't seen much of any of them, but that's three.
We haven't even talked about
this. Some of our shows have been regurgitated from better shows from England, like Shameless.
Yep. Shameless is fucking terrible.
The Office. The American version of Shameless is terrible.
No.
The British version of all these four seasons of The Office is gold.
Everything after has been crap.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what also sucks about, I feel like, with a lot of television is... This is why I think Lost did a good job. I think that a lot of the HBO shows actually do it. They know. They go, let's cut it off. Yeah, the story is over. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of these shows, with like The Office, they just wore out their welcome on TV. Yeah. You know, and a lot of these shows, they keep going.
Whenever they brought in the guy from Stargate, you knew it was time to turn off
James
the channel.
Bader, yeah.
I like him, but he's always going to be Jack.
And then they try to do like spin-off. Okay, first of all, I love the TV show Friends. I think it's actually very funny. And it's very.
Maybe that was the 2000s.
It was late 90s, early 2000s, in a perfect slot, and Friends was funny. It wasn't outrageously funny, but it's relatable, and Friends, it went on a little bit too long, but it was still okay, and then they just fucking start doing spinoffs like Joey.
Well, that didn't last.
Yeah, I know it doesn't, and they don't last, and what sucks, what I think is the tough thing about writing for TV, I think TV has the potential to be better because you can develop characters that you can become attached to, and you
have all the time.
You have 3 hours at most, and that's a long movie to develop characters over a TV show. You get an hour and 20 episodes, and then you can do it for 6 seasons.
You can do it like MASH did it, and you can do it for fucking 12 years.
Well, as long as it's continued to be good material, you have to know when to leave. MASH was good material for 12 years.
There's no good comedies. I mean, the best comedies on television, on TV, are Fox's Animation Domination.
And what's
Family Guy, American Dad, and all that.
I don't get American Dad.
American Dad is funnier than Family Guy.
American Dad is the Porsche to Family Guy's Ford.
Yes. American Dad is the Porsche to a Family Guy's Ford. Animated.
Francine, can we continue this conversation at the top of the staircase?
I'm still waiting for American Dad to make me laugh. And
American Dad is hilarious.
Roger's my favorite character on TV.
I mean, what do you like, Bob's Burgers then?
Fuck Bob's Burgers. I never watched Bob's Burgers.
I don't know what that is.
I mean, if I had to have my favorite network is Fox. Fox has had the iconic... Fox had Married with Children. You had Olympic Color.
I never got into that. I watched that at 3 a.m. when everything else is infomercials.
But back then, I mean, Fox just like made. I mean, Fox
well, this,
just
come and along you can't with, you can't forget The Simpsons. Well, yeah. Which
Fox
will for
cuddle,
10 years.
Fox will cut a bitch now. Fox will cut a show.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
Firefly.
Yeah, hey,
Fox will cut a show.
Ever since Dark Angel, Fox has been known for cutting anything.
Yeah, Fox will. Well, Fox and sci-fi, they don't give it a chance.
Firefly's kind of awesome.
Yeah, but they cut it. They didn't give it a chance. Yeah, they're just like, eh, but no.
Firefly did the right thing, and if you read about it, Joss Whedon said, hey, we're going to do seven seasons. He had planned it out for seven seasons. And you almost have to do that.
Yeah.
Where you have to know, when I write a script, I write it as in, I write down all the little things in between, and I start connecting them. I know where it's beginning, and I know where it's ending. And I think that's what kind of sucks with TV, is when you start, sometimes you're just going off of momentum, and you're like, all right, let's just take this where it goes. If you think about a show like that tried to capitalize on the whole sci-fi thing, like Lost, because Lost was a big sci-fi breakthrough.
And people don't realize that. People don't realize it's actually a sci-fi story.
It broke through and got us to this point when all of a sudden Heroes came out.
Yeah, Heroes was really good.
Heroes was the greatest thing ever, season one.
And then what they did was the writers admitted, they said, we fucked up. There's paradoxes everywhere.
They did the exact same thing with Star Trek Enterprise. I know neither of you have seen that, but there's the whole story of Star Trek Enterprise is this temporal Cold War, and you hate time travel, so don't watch the entire show.
Please don't. He's foaming at the mouth, people.
But the whole premise is there's a whole Cold War going on in the future, and these people are going back in time and trying to change historical events for humanity to stop, you know, the Federation from being found, yada, yada. And in the very beginning, you see this guy that's all shady, and he's out of sync, and he's shadowing back and forth, and he's giving direction to this new Suliban, species that you've never heard of before. And the writers even admit it at the end of season one, like, we don't know who he is. We don't know who he works for. We have no idea where we're taking this story. We don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
And you can't do that. Yeah, you cannot,
especially in Star Trek.
Well,
you cannot do that in such an epic universe.
I think what's going on, whereas AMC and your HBO's
but I loved Enterprise.
Focus on epic shows and great writing, the other main three networks just focuses on our voyeurism.
They put these live shows.
Nothing will ever beat in ratings. You're Dancing with the Stars. You're America's Got Talent.
Even now, when you're getting your best people.
You're American Idol. Because people just want to see live people in certain situations. We're all voyeurs. We just want to see that. So all your main networks have gone straight up reality shows.
Well, that's what's so bullshit about it.
They're on their last leg. They're basically on dialysis waiting to be put
down.
But
it's working. That's what's so annoying.
People watch America's Got Talent.
Those people don't know what other good things. Like, when I was a kid, all I watched was the major networks, you know?
Right, exactly.
My TV channel didn't go above 20.
Right, exactly.
And then I started growing up and I started scrolling up on the menu.
Well, let's face it about a lot of these studios, though. They're going to do what works, you know?
So
why not just do another Dancing with the Stars? Like, there's that new show, Splash, coming out.
It's people literally jumping off a giant diving board into a fucking pool. B-list and C-list celebrities jiving on a board. It's literally just
and you know why? It's because it sells. And what sucks about that is that
Chewie's going to do that
right now with movies, great movies are able to be seen. If you want to go see Lincoln, it's a good movie and it has a big budget and people supported it and are behind it. You can go and see that. The issue with a lot of these shows, except for like on AMC, of course, because it is on its network, but not a lot of people know, except for about The Walking Dead, it's starting to build up. But AMC 5 years ago,
I never watched it.
So it feels like now that that good television is almost like indie cinema years ago, and that you can't see this stuff, you know.
Right.
HBO.
A lot of people don't have HBO.
Exactly, and HBO.
HBO cable now has AMC, but Dish is cutting off AMC. Dish did cut off AMC,
and they got it back, and they're getting it off again. They've gone back and forth.
Well, that's what I just find. Like you're saying, it's like, well, all the major networks are force feeding you this kind of trash.
They're McDonald's, but you don't always want to eat at McDonald's. People will finally realize I don't want to eat at McDonald's anymore.
But still, without HBO or AMC.
But I feel like you're not going to get the support behind a lot of these things.
Right.
Some people want to. If I was putting my money into something, I don't want to put it into something that necessarily has to do with just making money. I'm doing something for an artistic value because I believe in something.
Because you want to affect people.
But at the same time, these people, their job is to make money, and what's going to make
money? Everything's a money grab.
I mean, you famous. I've seen on your and some of your rants, or right below it, it says, money is God. And yes, so, yes. And it is true to a lot of people. And what it really sucks is somebody stood up for The Walking Dead at some point. They said, this is a great fucking series,
right,
and we need to get this on TV. And somebody, that one person, thank them for that. You know, thank the, whoever came up with David Chase, who came up with The Sopranos.
Exactly.
Thank him for fighting for that. But it's so hard, it seems, in television to fight for such a good show.
Yeah, because think about it.
Because it's tough to sell it as making money over a long time.
Exactly. Right. Walking Dead had to fight for its third season. Jersey Shore was on for, three or four?
Walking Dead was signed for its third season almost before season two was finished. Airing,
but these are shows
they're already signed for season four.
But the only
they're filming in May.
But the reason that The Walking Dead, I mean, it came in right place, right time. And 10 years ago, Walking Dead probably isn't as famous.
No, 10 years ago, it wouldn't have had the animation capabilities, and it wouldn't have had the audience because people don't want to see that.
Well, zombies are hot now. You know what I mean? It's like zombies and
vampires.
I think The Walking Dead made zombies hot.
No, they've helped. And what's so great is they're coming. It's like they're showing up at the same time, and all of a sudden it's building into this big thing. And like you said, it's a show about zombies, but you say it's a show about survival.
Right.
Zombies just happen to be involved with it.
Well, or so is Lost a show about people crashing on an island?
No, absolutely
exactly.
not.
Exactly. It's not anything to
Lost,
do with
Lost
that.
Lost is about is just about people and
the way they cope with their reality and the way that they overcome.
It's about every person in the world, especially those with daddy issues.
Yeah, but as a TV watcher, what here are your crossroads? You can watch a fat, obese child on some reality show. Or you can watch some has-beens dance on some reality show. Or you can watch a show about mythical creatures and things, vampires and zombies, to escape whatever's going on in your own life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what crosswords
are you at? If you want to watch reality, turn on CNN, Charles.
I know. Nobody does turn on CNN or anything.
Yeah, I don't think we want to watch reality. I think we want to, but
right.
we want to feel connected
yes,
to
right.
something.
Well, and that's the whole point. It's about a different medium. I mean,
I know, but
want
I'm saying
escape.
Those are our crossroads now. I mean, there's reality, a different reality, and an escape from reality.
Well, I also think we're part of an ADD nation now with technology being what it is and everything being so fast, and we're like, I'm sitting there tapping impatiently if my website isn't loading in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So I think
remember
now,
the good old days when you had to watch a JPEG drop
yeah,
down?
Exactly. And so now we're getting to this point where we just want stuff that's easily digestible.
Right.
We don't have to think about, and we can cook dinner while we're doing it, you know? So,
well, that's...
And that's not the case with anything on AMC, I don't think.
Well, I know.
You have to pay attention
to But what I'm saying is that's why we get the crap. My dad loves reality television. And I think a big part of it is because he can just walk back and forward while he's making dinner and do it, and you don't have to think about a lot of stuff. But when it comes to TV shows, I don't know necessarily what your guys' opinions are, but I like to think about some things sometimes.
Well,
and I like to see cool stuff, like zombies is cool. You want to see zombies getting killed, that's neat. Then you add in the whole element about characters that you can relate.
The storyline,
you know,
and
it's like, let's face it, because once you and Charles were in a famous argument about Mad Men, because Charles is a big fan of Mad Men, and Philip is the biggest fan
See,
in history
Charles
of Walking
this,
Dead.
Charles does this thing. Charles does this thing where we'll be talking about something before we record the podcast, and I'll insist that he waits till we hit the red button so that you can hear it, because that's what we have these conversations for, you, the listener.
Well, he does it to take
you. We lose it.
He doesn't take you off.
Here's what it is. I don't do it to take him off. It's very simple. The Walking Dead is the third best show on its own network. Mad Men and Breaking Bad are better than The Walking Dead.
Well, and then you made this
grasp that.
You made this argument once, and then Philip came in and said, "Well, Mad Men's just about people." I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on you just for a second for this.
Yes.
And you go, "Mad Men is just a show about advertising agencies in the 50s. Who wants to see that?" And it's like,
chauvinistic assholes.
But that's not necessarily what it's about. I have watched Mad Men. I can't get into it because I'm not smart enough.
I've
it's too much.
It too.
It's too wordy, and I can't get it. But it's not about that. It's about the atmosphere and the time. I remember watching the first episode, and I was kind of like, okay, I'm a little overwhelmed here. And then there's this one moment when Dom Draper, I believe is his name, is in the show. He all of a sudden clicks, and he comes up with this great pitch, and he describes it to him. I'm like, that's great. That was just great television. We just witnessed a great scene.
Right.
And that's not what the show's about. It's not necessarily about – it just happens to be take place in an ad agency. All these characters would be interesting somewhere else. And I think that's what you need in these cases.
Well, I was saying that to piss Charles off.
Yeah, if all the Walking Dead characters were on
like
Lost, would it still be a good show?
It would still be just
probably,
as great.
Because it's still well-written.
Yeah.
If Breaking Bad was about something else, would it be great? Yeah, because fucking Bryan Cranston's in it, so it's going to be awesome. You know, and he was – by the way, Malcolm in the Middle is a great show too.
Oh, yeah, I love Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, God.
The first time I saw Bryan Cranston, he was getting his ass shaved by his wife because he had some kind of hair disease.
Yeah.
The very first episode of Malcolm in the Middle.
But I just feel like with writing, it's so tough to get people to really get invested in something really great, because we kind of do just want to take things.
Well, and that's where The Walking Dead has a huge benefit, because they've got right now 107 books with 22 pages of storyboard in it.
Well, what's so great about Walking Dead too is they've managed to kind of dance a fine line, which is, hey, we're with things that people like to see, which is zombies getting killed, and yet we're also a well-written show. So we're kind of on this line where Mad Men doesn't get the views, it gets the Emmys, it gets noticed by the critics, those who are into film. Yes. But when it comes to this, it's like, it's about ad agency in the 50s, and there is no action. It is just people talking about stuff and wanting to sleep with women. Yes. So it's not nearly as accessible, whereas The Walking Dead has done... So when your argument's always, well, 16 million viewers say differently.
Well, that's not what I'm saying about The Walking Dead. I'm saying that The Walking Dead is it's a story that everyone has always wanted to see. I mean, Kevin James has his commercial, and everyone that likes zombie stories has said this.
Yeah.
Fuck, I wanted to see more. You know, it's like the Dawn of the Dead. They're in the mall, and then they escape in the helicopter, and then that's the end. Credits roll.
Well, it's just like remake. It's like the longest zombie movie you can make if it was a good zombie movie is what they're trying to go for, which is good.
And they're removing, and everyone, this people get angry. The 60 million viewers, the people are like, oh, geez, you know, they're on this fucking farm, and there are no zombies. That's the point. It's not about the zombies.
Yeah.
The problem is now, though, for every... Because basically we have... From what we go by this podcast, it's HBO and AMC versus the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like reality.
Well, don't television. Just. I mean,
for every
non-cable
good show,
networks,
for every one good written show on HBO or AMC, well written. Thank you. There's 25.
He wouldn't write anything good, would he? He would write none good.
There's 25 reality shows that are popping up, and this.
I want to say the one good reality show that I did watch, and I will admit to DVRing it, was the Joe Schmo Show.
I never watched it.
Oh, jeez.
It was so funny. I loved, there was one season of this one show. It was called Murder in Small Town X, and it was actually pretty awesome because it was a mystery that you could follow, but the winner ended up dying in September 11th, so they weren't able to air the final episode until months later, and then they never did the show again. Yeah. It was a really, really good show. But I just feel like with television, it's just... That's probably why I can't get as into it, because I feel like...
And plus, there's so much out there. I mean, and then, you know, for every... You may get into a show, and then it's canceled.
Yeah.
That's exactly why
You can't invest time into shows anymore, because you know there's a chance...
Well, and that's like with Firefly. I just watched the whole series of Firefly, which is a whopping 14 episodes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it ends, and you know nothing about all the characters.
Yeah, you're just like, what happened?
There's two shows that ended that I liked. It was like The River, which was a great show. It was about... They're finding this.
Oh, yeah, in South America.
Yeah, it was horrifying. It had one season.
Bruce Greenwood. I loved that show.
And then there was Alcatraz with Hurley from Lost. Sam Neill's like the creepiest
Sam Neill's one of my favorite actors because of his role as Dr. Grant.
Oh, okay, right.
In Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Like, when I was a kid in school, we had a Disney day where everyone dressed up as your favorite Disney character. And I said, fuck you, I'm going to Universal. And I dressed up as Dr. Grant. And I had the blue shirt with the big fucking aviators and the hat.
No. I mean,
but one good thing about popularity that I'm excited about, when I saw the first season of The Walking Dead, it was only 6 episodes.
Right.
And I was like, oh god, this is such a good story. And then I read the comics because I was like, whoa, this is a comic book. Right. And I remembered, Jesus, 10 years ago somebody tried to introduce me to this show. I should have started reading the comics back then.
Right.
And then season 2 hit and it was wildly popular.
Yep.
And I got excited about that because what ended up happening was they said, we've got this great story and a lot of people like it. So I know now I'm going to get at least 5 seasons from The Walking Dead.
I mean,
even if season 4 bombs, I'll get at least one more season.
Uh-huh.
Whereas with Last Resort, I think it was a good show. I thought it was a great story and I really wanted to see at least, I think they could have done 2 seasons well or at least 10 more episodes in this last season. But they canceled it.
Really?
I think it would have been a great story.
But that's another thing. I've never been a fan of... Well, sometimes you can't help but do it, but reading the book and then watching something, even in the movie. I mean, everybody knows Lord of the Rings, but I mean, I don't see why, you know,
why I
wouldn't
want to
like Game of Thrones. I would not want to have read the book and then watch the series, because they're two separate things. Because there's always these people that are saying,
"Oh, well, the book is much better."
Or it's like, "Well, that didn't happen in the book." And then didn't that ruin the experience?
Well, that's why.
You know everything that's going to happen.
No, I don't. And there's several different things that all right. So then the animated version of Beowulf, you guys remember that? It came out
the movie.
Yeah,
it was fucking awful.
It was horrible. But the main complaint that everyone had was, "Oh, nothing like the book." And then the same with The Walking Dead. Like, for example, we just got to the episode where they brought Morgan back. Morgan wasn't supposed to come into the story till issue 58 after they get out of the prison. You know, they've been gone from the prison for a while, and they're on their way to better places. Or the telephone, where Rick is talking to his dead wife.
Yeah.
You know, all these things didn't happen until after the prison. And there's characters like Daryl Dixon, who's not in the storyline at all. But if I wanted to have the exact same story that I have in the comic book, I would just reread the fucking comic book. I want this new universe.
Because
Robert Kirkman has said in his talking points in the back of every comic, people send him questions, mm-hmm. and he said, you know, the stuff I kind of wanted to do differently, I can do that with a comic or with the show. Like, in the comic book, first time they meet the governor, Rick gets his right hand lobbed off. So for the rest of the comic, Rick has one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do that. They're obviously doing it with Merle. You just give him a green glove. But that really hindered the character of Rick. And, like, the baby was supposed to die at the end of the prison, and now Lori's dead and not the baby. Yeah. So, like, it's this world where you get to see what happened if.
But even in the case of watching a movie...
It's like a different universe.
After reading the book, sometimes a lot of times I don't read the book first.
Right.
Because I don't read a lot of books.
Right.
But sometimes I'll read it after. One of my favorite movies...
Adam can't read.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's really
true.
Sad.
One of my favorite movies of all time is High Fidelity, which is in my top five all time. And after watching High Fidelity... I've probably watched it 20 times now. I'm reading the book because it is two separate things in my mind, and I like.
Well, so
I like that they have similarities, but I also love that they have differences. It's like Fight
Club. It's like the book Fight Club. Oil, and There Will Be Blood. Similar storylines, and they even changed the title.
I would never consider reading a book after watching a movie.
Because
Charles, you realize you're allowed in libraries now, right?
Well, wow. That must be the Django Act. We won't get into that.
Jackie Brown, the story, which is great. First of all, it's not called Jackie Brown. It's a book by Elmore Leonard, who's one of the great writers of dialogue and books. And he also wrote Raylan Givens, the character in Justified. He wrote a couple stories that were with him in it. But that's called Rum Punch, mm-hmm. the book. And I've read the first couple pages of Rum Punch, and it's nothing like it. And if you change some of the story from the book to the movie, all of a sudden you're kind of a genius if it works. And if not, you're a fuckface.
Right,
and you've ruined it. You know, I like to think of it as two completely separate things when I go and see something. My thing was, when I read Game of Thrones, I was reading it, and I'm like, this is pretty fucking awesome. Like, the whole book is great, though there are 1,000,000,000 characters that they just shove in your face quickly, and you got
to
learn them.
Yeah. You have to write an essay about each character, basically.
Yeah, and then, which is great. We'll talk about creating universes in a minute, but when it came to watching the show, I was like, oh, let me see it. And it's different. I like that it's different, but at the same time, I just didn't like it. I hate that everybody in it has a British accent for some reason.
I hate that with medieval stories.
That's what I hate about stories like that. I hate it. Now it feels like a terrible medieval piece in my mind, and I don't like most of the actors in it. I feel like they overact, except for Peter Dinklage. He's one of the greats right now. What?
What happened when Sean Bean died?
When Sean Bean, I didn't get that far.
Oh, you knew it was coming. But
I had read the books. I know about
Edward Stark.
Yeah, and I'm also not somebody who I purposely go and read. Like I have read most of the Dark Tower series, which is mm-hmm. 7 books by Stephen King. My first thing I did was read the ending. So
why?
I read it and I said, that is the most disappointing ending I've ever read ever. I need to know what leads up to it.
Oh, so
I
do that stuff all the time. You like the Tarantino idea of it?
Well, I don't mind. I want the journey. I'm all about the journey. I'm not always about the payoff. You know.
So here's another thing, an angle we haven't explored about the whole TV show thing. I ask you all if you think. Do you think the fact that we have, you can DVR things, or if you got Hulu Plus or any of that other junk?
Sure.
You think that in itself has ruined television?
No.
At all? The fact that you can see it. Your episode, like, it's no big deal. Oh, it comes on, I'll just DVR it and see
it. No, I mean, it's definitely reformatted the way we interact with television.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's changed how impactful a show is. Because now I can stay up till 1 a.m. Right. and watch my show if I want to.
I don't think in the 90s
you could just record your deep. You could record your VCR.
I don't think of it as epic though. Like there's like when that last episode of MASH came on, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it was as if like a collective peoples. We're all like we're sitting down, we're watching this together.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know what I mean. And it just it feels like. And then all of a sudden the next morning, that's what you're talking about. It's like the last episode of Seinfeld.
Well, that's going on right now with The Walking Dead.
They are, but at the same time, it is happening with Walking, but it's rare now. It's like, fuck it, I'll DVR. My dad watches Survivor 2 days later or a day later and watch it again.
And you do have everyone saying, oh, shut up, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I know that's there, but I mean, because I'm much older than both of you, television used to be an event. Yep. Basically, back in the day,
television used to be a book that Charles was reading.
Well, if you missed the show, you were screwed.
Yep.
And that gave you a sense of urgency to make a point to watch the show, to watch it with your family, all this thing. This whole you can DVR later or you can watch it. It's made me lazier about it, for sure. I know, I mean, but I feel that, you know, this should be done. If you don't see it, or it comes on once and then it comes on like an hour later, then that's it. I don't, you know, 4 days later, I don't want to be able to watch the episode of The Walking Dead. I feel that just makes it.
But what's also kind of strange about film, okay, if you go and see, like, just go see a movie,
right?
You're going to come out and you digest it, and then you try to make sense of it. And you can make sense of it over a course of a day or a week or an hour or whatever. But with a TV show, it almost becomes a different experience when you're viewing it either all at once or you're spacing it out
because there's a lot of different times.
If you're going week to week to week like you do with Walking Dead, right, you keep up with it like I did with Lost.
Yeah.
And it becomes a completely different show because I've watched Lost. I watched every episode through the six years. And then what I did was all the time later, I watched the show and I just went.
It was on Wednesday night. Lost was Wednesday.
And what happened was, I thought it was Thursdays, but.
It was Wednesdays.
Lost, I watched episode, 6 years of my life every week and then thinking about it and for the off seasons. And then. I watched it straight through. They almost become different viewing experiences.
Yeah, so because in some way, like you know, there's this new show on Fox, The Following, with Kevin Bacon. Fantastic show.
Which good?
I've
heard of it.
There's only been 7 episodes. I've got 5, 6, and 7 recorded.
Yep.
And I attempted to watch them all back to back. I'm like, this isn't, you know, you don't get the one episode, then it's over.
What happens next week?
Because I have the ability to just watch all three. I can watch all seven. This happens in a lot of media. It makes it one long loop.
In comic books, like with The Walking Dead, it comes out once a month and you only get 22 pages. And a lot of people hate that experience. Like, well, fuck it. I want to read the whole story arc. I don't want this long pregnant moment of waiting. And then they get the trade papers, and every 6 months, an entire collection of stories comes out.
People
do that on Netflix. They'll watch all of The Office.
Yeah, you'll watch all of the season Office. One. Hey, I just saw season one of the whole show. How do you do that in one sitting? There's a reason
that I haven't started watching Breaking Bad yet. It's because I do not like the idea of watching it and then slowly doing it after. I can give you like half a disc.
It's like Sons of Anarchy. Those shows, you should just space them apart. You got to have this, holy shit, what's going to happen next week moment.
I think it's like on a roller coaster, you know, whenever you're going through all the ups and downs, and then just before you get to the big drop, you're waiting for it, and you get excited, and you're thinking about it, and it's the same thing with the shows. I remember after season two of Lost,
which my dad watched up till like season 3 or 4, and you guys saw, obviously, you've seen the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
And there's the whole thing with the pushing the button.
Yeah.
And so the season ends...
But it's Snow Globe, brother.
Each week the episode ends, and my dad gives me a theory as to what's happening. Of course, early on, he was like, change your mind. And then finally, one time, he just goes, that's it, this is what they're doing. They're fucking with us. This entire show has just been fucking with us this whole time. We're pushing the button. We keep watching the show. We need to stop. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to stop. He's like, I'm not either.
So, it's good to have that. But I think it's ruined, like, once again.
I'm not either.
And then even if you
swallowed the hook.
Even if you do miss your show, there's so much social media that tells you what happened. Like, for instance,
if I miss an episode of The Walking Dead, I can't turn on my phone. Yeah. I can't look at Twitter or Facebook. Because people will fucking, like, When I lived in Gainesville, we had a group that we would get together and we watched all of season 2. Every Sunday night, we would get together and watch the episode together. I would take my TV, my 59-inch Samsung 3D TV, shameless plug, all the way up to Gainesville. And we would watch it for the experience. But now we kind of text each other during the show. And if I miss an episode, I can't touch anything.
For those of you listening, Adam and I are just as creeped out with Philip's obsession with The Walking Dead as you all are by now. Far. I'm pretty sure you're ever going to start talking about The Walking Dead? But, well, that's the point I want to bring up, ironically enough, is The Walking Dead. The second The Walking Dead goes off, there's a show called The Talking Dead, which these idiots...
Chris Hardwick is no idiot.
Chris Hardwick is
a saint. Chris Hardwick is the reason we are sitting here. That's an Anchorman reference.
But The Talking Dead comes on right after The Walking Dead.
And it's live.
And they tell you exactly what just happened.
1-855 Dead Live.
So, I mean, that's ridiculous. I feel you gotta see it, or, you know, there's too much information. I don't want to know what happened.
It's growing its own community.
Like, if you don't, like the Oscars, I mean, or the Academy Awards, same thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Actually, this year they changed the name. It's no longer going to be called the Academy Awards this year. They call it the Oscars. No, whenever you DVR'd it, it was the Oscars. Yeah. And because that's what everyone calls it.
So but the next day, you find out who won, you find out what happened, find out somebody fell, Jennifer Lawrence busted her ass.
Yeah.
Actually, it was her face. Her butt didn't
Yeah, she didn't have her bow. But, I mean, there's too much information. I don't want to watch one entire season in 4 or 5 hours.
No, you can't.
Sometimes I do it, though.
I did it with The Office.
And I want to be ready for next week. I want to be at Tuesdays like, hey, Sons of Anarchy, come on Thursday at 8 o'clock. I'm going to be right there.
I changed my availability at work. I was like, look, Sundays, I can't work past 6 p.m. Fuck you guys.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, I'm a very forgetful person.
I'm sure if Lost were still on right now, you would do the exact same thing. I'm not coming to work.
Well, we're planning on getting season tickets. I'm planning on taking off those Fridays those are on. So, but it's really tough for me. You got to really sell me as a show to get me to sit down every week.
We've
and
all
watch
been
it.
Some places like you're sitting down and you're like, holy shit, I'm
get the fuck over there.
And you turn in the channel and you realize your show's already started. Then you're like mad at yourself.
Everyone shut up!
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
But also, I'm going to be a little bit of a douche here and talk about how much commercials are ruining TV.
A little bit
though.
Of a douche very much himself.
Commercials Charles and I are huge NFL fans.
Yes.
And it is now getting to a sickening level with this, and also with other shows. Like, the first time I've ever experienced The Walking Dead was sitting down with you guys when we had our cooking club, and... It's funny to mention we have a cooking club. And then...
the man cave.
And it's just insane how long these commercials are and how frequent they are. You know, it's the point where it's taking away minutes from good TV.
Right.
And they're force-feeding those.
But then that's where you
that's
love
they
your Hulu
them.
Plus and
yeah.
all that. Because limited commercials.
Well,
with limited commercials.
Exactly. And it's... Well, if an NFL game is really... It's like an hour and a half without, you know, all
However,
those commercials.
Some of these commercials are freaking hilarious.
Well, like the Super Bowl one. Well, the Yeti. I know you love that.
Why are you wearing safety goggles? Oh, I don't know. In case a Bigfoot or Ted comes and tries to steal them.
I think they should have like a TV show just for commercials for the Super Bowl. And I would watch that during the Super Bowl rather than watching the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm a big
fan.
I love
the Super Bowl.
I
love
it. It's quite an experience. So.
And then there's a channel now for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's a... Woman, well, Lifetime. There's four Lifetime
channels.
That's
just like there's music now.
There's a Speed. There's a...
Well, back in the day, everyone had like everyone went home to watch I Love Lucy, and that was really like there's only like three major networks.
Well, there wasn't
any
choice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then you know back in the day, everyone listened to the Beatles, or everyone listened to the Beach Boys, or everyone listened to the Rolling Stones, and
I mean,
that was it. And now there's so
is
much.
Great. Yeah, you got your niche. If you're a tattoo,
there's so much available.
Tattoo
shows.
War.
Oh no, Tattoo Inc. was great.
Tattoo
Inc.
Master.
I watched
Ink Master too, and all that crap.
Yeah, I watched Ink Master.
I mean, we all get caught in this niche. We all have our one or two niche shows.
If they had
it's our guilty pleasure.
If they had a movie maker TV show, you would watch it.
No, I tried to. They did. It was called On the Lot, and Carrie Fisher was one of the. Judges, yeah. And it wasn't good, though.
Oh,
it just wasn't good. No, well, because I don't...
Was
like,
it done well?
No. See, this is the thing when it comes to, like, these reality TV shows. The only reason I watch them a lot of times is because it's like, it's kind of funny, but, like, Pawn Stars is something I like watching.
I hate
sometimes.
Those people.
I know, but, like, if they did something about movies, no, because they glorify and cheesy up everything. Like, what I hate is America can't get enough of the sob story. There was on America's Got Talent, which my dad sadly watches, so that means I used to watch. And
only good thing to come out of
Well, there's two girls that get up, and one of them's 17 and the other one's 13. They get up and they sing, and they are, by all accounts, very, very, very average singers, if not below average. But then they tell their sob story about how they have cystic fibrosis. and then all of a sudden they're going several rounds, and it's like, because America loves this story. There's a guitarist who wins because his house fell down in Katrina, you know, and it's like, no, he's an average guitarist. We should be based off the talent, but no, America loves this story. You're saying
Edgar Allan Poe would be alive if he were, if he wouldn't have died homeless and
Oh, God, no, he would be, well, no, he would be homeless.
He would have died like that.
Yeah.
He would have had a sob story on TV.
Exactly, and that's what I can't stand about it. I don't want to hear a sob story about film. If I want to watch somebody making film, I want it to be, that's why I love these, if you get these, like, Criterion Collections or you get these behind-the-scenes footage, sometimes they're even more interesting than the movie, watching how people make them. But yeah. A TV show about people's it is horse shit.
Yeah.
TV show is only there to get ads on, where movies yeah. aren't necessarily. I when feel like that's why there's so much above right now.
When did somebody dancing become the greatest show?
Yeah.
People will talk about...
Wow, I'm sorry. Screech is not a dancer, and he should
someone
never have been on
off
that show.
Of America's Got Talent, or
but,
something like Dancing with the Stars, or something.
But
like,
I also
so
I need to say that I do appreciate some writers when it comes to this type of stuff, like an HBO show. I've watched the whole first season of The Wire, and I never watch any more yet, but I will. Mm-hmm. I know, because it's amazing. Same thing with Sopranos. What I love about shows like HBO, these HBO shows and these AMC shows, is that they stick you episode one into the story, and you're like, what the fuck? They just throw characters at you like,
yeah,
good
yeah.
luck, man.
And you have to figure them out. Yeah.
You have to figure out what it means is that every one of these people, as somebody that likes to write too, mm-hmm. you know.
Every one of those people is going to have a backdrop.
Well, what I love, when I write, like I just made a short movie, and with that short story.
What was it called?
It's called Shallow Point. And so if shallowpointthemovie.com is almost up and ready.
Coming soon to a website near you.
What's so great, when I write Shallow Point, the script takes me, I can almost pump out a script, you know, in an hour. I can just type it out because I've sat down and I've done backstory. I have a Bible of Shallow Point right now. It has mm-hmm. every character's backstory, even mm-hmm. the characters that aren't brought up. There's characters that have nothing to do with the movie, but I have to create them for my sanity and to make the world a perfect, you know, a real place.
So right. it's not a shell of a place. It's an actual living, breathing terrarium.
I have a map right now of Shallow Point at home, and nothing in my movie mentions anything that's on the map.
That
I
will
just
be on
have
the
to draw,
Blu-ray special features.
Though, I have to draw a map, and I have to create characters. Right. And Shallow Point is building all the time. You know, there's more people being added into it because the story can be fixed. But at the same time, I have so much backstory because I need to cover my ground and believe these are real people. And what I think is so great about a lot of television right now, some of these television, is they are like The Sopranos. Every one of these characters, I really believe that their writer sat down and thought about them and their right. backstories and how they lived before this, how they'll live right. after this. And that's what I love about The Sopranos, too, is yes. that it's like, hey, episode one, Tony meets his psychiatrist.
Right.
And in the last episode of season, the last one of the last moments of season six mm-hmm. is when she leaves him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the story we got.
Right.
I absolutely believe that these people's lives go on because right. they're real complicated characters with real problems, despite the fact that it's a mob situation we know nothing of.
So,
and
well,
before,
and they do that a lot. Like, they do that a lot in HBO. Like, there's a really good... to compare and contrast,
yeah, sure.
cable network to or cable to networks.
Yep.
True Blood is a vampire story. You know, it's obviously all fake.
Mm-hmm.
And but from the instant you start, like you learn, you see this girl and she's hearing everyone's thoughts. You don't know why.
Yeah,
you don't know what's going on with her, but all of a sudden you're supposed to accept this background of her and assume it, and then you learn about her. And then they've got Vampire Diaries. I don't know. My girlfriend made me watch.
On the CW.
On the CW. Yeah.
yeah.
And it's
good
just it, yeah, I just don't care as much about any of the characters because there's no real world.
Well,
for me to follow.
And that's why
yeah.
I think Lost works and like Heroes doesn't. They're both very similar. Heroes, they built up something, but they clearly didn't have backdrop.
What was the Siler? Here's Siler in Redux. I hate all of you. I want your powers.
Yeah, and
you're my mother. I love you. Oh,
well,
no, wait. That's... My dad over here said you tried to use me. Dad, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hey, you're my brothers? Oh,
and
I'm so glad to have brothers.
Get,
you said
get...
dad's bad? Okay, I'll kill... No, wait, mom said, but... No, but
they,
but
well,
the
they
brothers,
got...
I'll kill you.
They got to this yeah. point in Heroes where they thought that all... Because they thought all Lost was cool moments and twists. And they thought that's what it was. Like, how... Let's... Like, M. Night Shyamalan... Let's face it, some of his later movies have been...
somewhat not okay.
And a lot of it is
all of his movies suck, except for The Sixth Sense, by the way.
And no,
Unbreakable, I love Unbreakable.
Signs was good.
And I like Signs, too.
Jesus.
And you like The Village, you said. And
okay, The Village, because of Joaquin Phoenix.
But like
Joaquin.
But it almost became to this point where some of his movies just felt like it was all for the twist.
Yeah.
Where if you go back to the roots of The Sixth Sense...
Yeah.
You told me that Haley Joel Osment deserved an Oscar nomination.
He did.
And I agree. You know, it's like these were... these were great characters. This wasn't just a horror story.
Right.
This is people in a situation that just happens to be kind of scary and well done. And so I feel like with Lost, they had these characters and then these cool twists and these cool cliffhangers where Heroes was building to something awesome. And
they fucked it up. Every once in a while, they had something totally original, like 24.
Yep.
Nobody had ever seen anything like 24. It's like the whole day.
They abused it. Yeah.
Yeah. The first three.
And it doesn't work without the commercial breaks, which shows you that all they care about is the time in between the camera takes.
Yeah. So basically, we will agree that it's pretty much the two best networks as far as storytelling and putting out TV shows are by far HBO and AMC.
Well, HBO's always been on top of that.
Yeah,
Rome. Rome is probably one of my favorite shows.
Deadwood was fantastic.
I'm so sorry.
He had Oz, Sex and the City. These are iconic shows, and AMC is just the new.
Well, did you just give props to Sex and the City?
Sex and the City, I didn't like, but it is actually a fairly well-written show. It's just not my thing, you know?
You both should just get the fuck out of my house right now.
Sex in the City is probably why you're in a relationship right now. Every chick has seen Sex in the City. You don't want a Samantha?
No. I think, though, with HBO, I mean, we should give them credit for what they do, but at the same time, we should also say, hey, they don't have as much rules. You know, they can't.
They don't have any rules, but
that's why True Blood can be so much better than Vampire Diaries.
Stuff looks real,
and that's what they need to do.
Rome only had two seasons, but it cost a boatload of money.
Do you know why Rome didn't have a third season?
No, I didn't.
The whole everything, it was all filmed in Italy, in a town north of the city of Rome, actually, I believe. But the set burned down. It was all made of styrofoam. Everything was carved styrofoam.
Okay,
and the set melted. All burned down
in
about 45 minutes. I was like, shit, if they got the cameras going, they could have had a Nero scene at least.
Yeah, make it Pompeii, right?
Well, that's great. Pompeii is about 40 miles south of Rome. And
that's okay. They could have, everybody knows the last days of Pompeii.
But that was probably one of the best stories in terms of how all these people are connected. And it doesn't really have to be historical, but it can really make you want to believe, like, you know that Caesar's going to die, but you want to be there, like, oh, stop it.
Or help them kill him off in the first season. That was cool.
But of course they're going to kill him off in the first season. It was coming the entire... You could see it from day one.
I know, you could.
As soon as they crossed the Rubicon, it was over.
Yeah. I don't know much about Cleopatra's history.
Rome was fantastic.
All of Gaul is divided into three parts.
I do think there are other... I mean, like...
Caesar's...
Lost was on ABC. I don't know if you guys ever saw... Well, first of all, like, 30 Rock is actually pretty funny.
I love 30 Rock.
It's over.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's not. It's never going to be over.
The Office was good for a couple seasons. So every now and then these shows, I mean, Family Guy is funny. Fox, like you said, it's had The Simpsons, and The Simpsons for 10 seasons had some of the best writing.
Right.
That's when Conan O'Brien was working for them, too.
And then I don't know if you guys ever saw Friday Night Lights. This first season is actually really well done. And then they kind of go off the deep end. But it was actually a well-written show with these characters that you could totally relate to. And every now and then, I know there's a huge following for Smallville.
I never got into that. But I wasn't a big Superman fan in the first place.
Superman, he's interesting. I used to hate him, but now I'm kind of interested in him because of the whole Kill Bill Volume 2 speech at the end.
Yeah.
And that's true. I believe that Kill Bill Volume 2 speech that David Carradine gave was the greatest thing ever.
Was that the first time you got the idea of Superman hiding behind himself?
That's the first idea I got, the idea of Superman being so detested by mankind that he used his... the person he chose to hide his identity. That's the first time you ever had that idea.
Well, because I never gave a shit about comic books.
Did you watch it? It was big in the '50s.
I thought it was just being goofy and unassuming, but I didn't know that.
First of all,
you watch Kill Bill at the end.
Kill Bill Volume 2, by the way, is 1,000 times better than Volume 1. Volume 1's a lot of fun. Volume 2 is awesome. It is a very well-written movie. Yeah. And that last scene, the entire thing with David Carradine, David Carradine's one of the best supporting actors for that.
Because that was fantastic.
That was amazing.
Superman
it was amazingly done.
Mankind.
And that's what and I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. But Smallville was big.
Smallville
was
let's talk about a show that got canceled a lot, and I know I just saw a rankings and they gave it the funniest show of all time, and it is coming back, Arrested Development, which I think is hilarious.
I've never seen it.
Arrested Development was...
It's pretty fucking fantastic, but what's so... It is an incredibly well-written show, incredibly smart, incredibly interesting. It was the 103rd ranked show when it was on air. Yeah. It got kicked off. It came back and got kicked off again. And now it's coming back again and with a movie because there's such a cult behind it. Family Guy barely did anything its first time around.
Yeah.
And then this cult came together and were like, we need Family Guy back. And now it's become huge.
Huge. Yeah.
To the point where Seth
Bill is hosting the Oscars.
Family Guy makes $1 billion in merchandise a year. Mm-hmm. And Seth MacFarlane gets a huge chunk of it. That's absurd.
And that in itself is what's wrong with television. You need petitions to save two great shows.
Well, it's just yeah. like,
whereas you still have Jersey Shore that had five seasons, mm-hmm. and you got Teen Mom and Teen Mom 2 that's had
so you know what show should have been canceled that I can think of from networks? Jericho.
I never saw Jericho.
It's about, you know.
No, it's on Netflix. It's
such a good story.
Well, now that we said it, though.
I sent in a peanut to save the show.
Did you really?
Yeah, because you know how they did that? Whenever the show ended, they were announcing it was going to be canceled. The last episode, he was talking about nuts. And it's one of the generals from World War II said to the German commander, you know, we're not going to surrender, nuts.
Yeah.
And then the grandfather told that, or the father told that to the son. And that became a big thing. So everyone sent in hundreds of thousands of pounds of nuts got sent into the studio to save the story.
I'll have to check it out. Well, look, we like you said, though, sometimes it sucks to just watch a series straight through and you can't imagine doing it. But it is a good thing that we do have Netflix and we do have Hulu.
Well, that's true because we can see some of these shows.
But we didn't know, you know. Right. And, like, I'll just be looking and it's, like, recently added and I'll see something. It's like, what the hell is that? You know, it's like, and it kind of piques my interest. And it's like, hey, fuck it. I'll try to watch it.
That's why I'm glad about.
That's why I'm able to watch Star Trek The Next Generation. I never watched The Next Gen. I'm just now getting into it.
Yeah.
And I actually like it a lot.
And I feel like a lot of people got into Downton Abbey because it all of a sudden showed up on Netflix. That's how I heard everybody was watching it, mm-hmm. because it's this BBC show, and the BBC, let's face it, ain't fucking popular over here.
Right.
And all
BBC
of a sudden,
America.
These people start watching the show, and they're like, what the fuck? This is awesome.
Well, now
you know?
You've got people coming in, and they're That's like, true. Oh, is there Downton Abbey? So yeah. It's really not right for some of the audience that can get access to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess Netflix
English
is good
Castle.
Because it brings you to something
that you,
that you,
you might
on.
Not
that
have
you
seen.
You might not have seen. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. And so, to a certain degree,
is the title, though?
Well, that's why, like, shows like
Well, people call it an English castle, but the word Abbey is in the title. It's not a castle. I just want to get that out there. Oh, it's not an English you. Castle. If you're thank listening, you. Downton Abbey, not town, ton, and yeah. Abbey, not castle.
I don't know about
yes.
much of that. And I'm British, and I've yeah. been there a lot.
You're not British, yeah. you're an American.
Actually, I have dual citizenship. I can have dual citizenship if I ever moved over there, like
could,
I'd like to one day.
You can become a member of the EU
and
live in any country
I can
in Europe.
Off. I know. That's what's so great about it. I can't
jealous.
Wait to. I can't wait to and get free healthcare. It's going to be nice.
Good healthcare. Free good healthcare.
Yes.
Not the Canadians.
What did I say?
Free healthcare.
Free good healthcare.
Okay. I'm just emphasizing that
great
you, know,
healthcare.
You can get free
yeah.
healthcare in a lot of countries, but it's not that great. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're starting to
all right, yeah. We're, all right, so we're going to leave this with everyone's the most anticipated TV show that's coming up that you're waiting for. So,
oh,
Charles.
God,
Game of Thrones.
No, other than Game of Thrones. You can't say Game of Thrones because you already said it. So give us another one.
Another show I'm anticipating
show
coming
for,
out that
back.
I'm ready for. I say the new Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. I'm really excited for Revolution Season 2.
I never saw Revolution. Okay, I have a little... It's because I don't get that into TV, but there's this really... There's this idea that was supposed to happen. It was supposed to go through. They were supposed to make two movies and three seasons out of the Seven Dark Tower books.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps getting
delayed.
Greenlit and then delayed, and then Ron Howard jumped on it, and they already
jumped
had...
On it.
They had already cast Javier Bardem to play the lead character.
Oh,
and the Dark Tower series is incredibly interesting. It has actually a lot of ties into Lost, too, which is another reason why I love it. But
he says with a smug look on his face.
Well, and it's really actually, it's a really interesting book that talks, it not only is cool with lots of action, there's really relatable characters, there's kind of cool sci-fi stuff, there's the whole multiverse theory. It's really, really interesting, and I was really interested to see how they do it. It keeps getting delayed and keep going back. I'd love to see it again. And also, there's this weird show that I watch episodes of every now and then. I don't know what season they're on. It's on IFC. It mm-hmm. sometimes has a skit that's really funny. Sometimes it's just over my head, but it's called Portlandia.
And
okay.
It's cute.
It's got some... the very beginning scene in Portlandia is this montage. It's a song with all these references to the 90s. And it's one of the greatest clips ever. And ever since then, it's been kind of hit or miss. But I'd like to see more of it because it's really weird.
So Charles, why Sons of Anarchy?
Because it's an awesome show.
He just gave us like a 5-minute diatribe.
Well, mine is Ron Perlman. That is Ron my answer.
Fucking no, Perlman.
And Katie Sagal.
I'm really, see, I kind of, because what channel is that on? It's on FX, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as is Justified. Mm-hmm. And what I've always been kind of hoping is that they'd have a crossover episode where Raylan Givens shows up to
show. I think there's a second season coming. Hell on Wheels. It's a good show.
Hell on Wheels is on AMC.
That's a good
and
show.
And I actually used to like a little bit of a guilty pleasure that is kind of funny is I always, for a while, I was into The League.
The League! League is fantastic!
Yeah, I haven't watched it for a while. But
if you're a J.J. Abrams fan, though, you need to get into Revolution because he's writing the show and it's about all the electronics on Earth.
Yeah, I know of it.
No, and the way they pick it up is these devices that can turn power back on.
Okay.
And there's only so many.
Yeah, I know. But
you need to see this show.
See, you don't understand. I haven't seen nearly as much stuff as you. I know way more about it because for some reason I read a lot about stuff, and I'm interested in a lot of stuff. I know a lot of movies, what they're directed by, who their stars are. Yet I've never seen a second of the movie. So.
Honorable mention to Fast and Loud, by the way. I love that show. Fast and Loud.
I've never heard
Richard
of that.
Rollins. It's a garage, gas monkey garage. They just rebuild stuff. Cool as hell. I love that show.
I love how we talked for an hour, and all of a sudden now we're like, oh, quickly, and we're just trying to throw in this.
there's more. Not to lie, we were at 45 minutes, and I was like, how the fuck am I going to stretch this out?
Oh, I always feel like we're going to keep going.
I know
going,
we stretched it out. We brought up Lost and freaking The Walking Dead. That's how. By the way, if you never want us to ever say Lost or The Walking Dead ever again, please.
You can go fuck it. If you don't want to hear me say The Walking Dead again, you can go fuck yourself because it's going to happen. Well, and don't you ever badmouth Chris Hardwick again. Ever.
We got another podcast episode coming up relatively soon. I think we might be doing it Friday or Saturday, so we might get it Friday or Saturday or potentially Sunday. Mm-hmm. We don't know the topic exactly yet. We're still discussing.
But in the future, we do have Steven Epperson coming on. He's an alter ego of Nevitz Gearc, big gamer. We're going to talk about movies that have become games and games that have become movies and the like. So get his take on
really,
it.
Really interesting.
Got one word for you. Can I say one word about movies and games? Doom.
Doom.
No, Doom.
makes me think of one of my favorite Indian movies, Doom Bachali.
Doom.
Doom.
Great as a game, better as a movie.
All right, answer the question.
All right, so the question of the movie title mashup was, a fledgling baseball star struggles with normal life in his small hometown while he's pitted against elites in rigorous class warfare. So the fledgling baseball star is from Eastbound and Down. And the class warfare, all about, we talked about it earlier, Downton Abbey. Title is Eastbound and Downton Abbey.
Ta-da! And now you're going to give one more?
And now we're going to let Adam introduce the next one.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, the CIA extracts U.S. civilians from revolutionary Iran to help Drew Barrymore and her boyfriend maintain their relationship.
There you go, folks. That's nice. The next one. And we will see you shortly. Enjoy the outro. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?